You know what really ruffles my feathers, guys?
What, John?
The 100 days benchmark in politics. 3 months and a week? What is that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Those 100 day stories, they're like the hallmark holiday of political journalism.
Yeah, you know, like, I wonder sometimes when this started. Was it like a caveman, you know, like chiseling the yes. stripes of like how long he's been in his cave? And he's like, oh, 100 stripes. We have a party now. Let's evaluate what we've accomplished over the past 100 hash marks in the cave.
Yep, that's what happened.
Yeah.
But you know what? I feel like life is sometimes kind of arbitrary.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of like some Hallmark holidays.
And like, who among us hasn't felt sometimes like a caveman just etching away our days?
Exactly.
Okay, well then let's talk about Governor Tony Evers' first 100 days in office. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about 100 days.
100 days!
So that jaunty number is 100 Days, 100 Nights by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings from an album of the same name released in 2007. We used it because it mentions 100 days and 100 nights, which is what we're going to talk about this week.
I think it's good that you point out the connection there because I'm not sure that people would catch it if we didn't do that.
I got to spell it out for you.
Yeah.
Kind of what I want to start off with is just like a blatant use of old man Sean Johnson knowledge.
Okay.
And I want to ask about like the comparison between the first 100 days of Tony Evers' administration and the first 100 days of Scott Walker's administration, because you did this story that we published about the 100 days of Evers, and that was something you mentioned in the story. And I think it's pretty interesting if some folks, you know, maybe haven't thought about that or made that comparison.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, tell us about it. Let's gather around the hearth.
Well, children, it was 8 years ago. Cavemen had marked off many lines on the wall.
You walked uphill both ways to the Capitol every morning.
I did, actually. And, well, I mean, I guess the short answer is by day 100 of Scott Walker's administration, he had already signed Act 10. Walker had done this big special session on a bunch of bills that were kind of, he had like this pent up GOP wish list basically from 8 years of Governor Jim Doyle and really before then even split party control. And so Republicans had all these bills that were just lined up and Walker just kind of went through them and that included Act 10. And so all the chaos that you've read about, you've seen it in these caveman wall paintings.
In history books, the hieroglyphics and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. You talk about there being a wish list that Walker sort of fulfilled in his first 100 days, because that makes me think of what Senator Fitzgerald said about Governor Evers' budget. He called it like a Democratic wish list or like a laundry list. And so it's sort of like if Evers had Democratic control of the legislature the way that Walker had Republican control, I wonder if it would have been kind of a similar onslaught of all of these things already passing, or if he would just have put them in his budget and had it happen that way.
I don't know.
Yeah, just wild prognostication. But yeah.
I mean, you're kind of
about
pointing out one of the main differences, though, when we compare Scott Walker and Tony Evers, is having single party control versus having split government, which we do now.
It's just extremely important. You can't talk about Tony Evers' first 100 days without pointing out that difference. And that is, you know, he can't just come in and do what he wants. And the other side of things, Republicans can't do what they want. And so there's a lot of doing nothing, actually. Like,
to which end, you know, Tony Evers has not signed any legislation in his first 100 days.
Yeah, that was kind of the thing that struck me as we were thinking about 100 days. He is the governor. What do governors do? You know, they sign and veto bills. Governor Tony Evers, I mean, they also introduce the budget, which he has done in a big way. But he has signed no bills yet. And that tells you like what Wisconsin state government is like right now. The legislature isn't sending him much. And they did send him one bill early, kind of to, I think, test him a little bit, and he vetoed it. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a tax cut which was similar but not identical to what he talked about on the campaign.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to do something different in my budget, so I'm vetoing this.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because Republicans have criticized the governor for how little he's done in his first 100 days. They released a video. It was making the rounds on social media where they went around and did kind of that Conan O'Brien man on the street interview, asking people what they thought Evers had accomplished in his first 100 days. So there's kind of a criticism that they're lobbing at him. But at the same time, they're definitely not, I don't know, greasing the wheels of, you know, bills getting to his desk necessarily.
Yeah. And yeah, it's sort of like, why haven't you signed any bills, Governor? Where are the bills? You know,
right.
I mean, it's definitely a two-way street here with roadblocks up that nobody passes.
Road metaphors.
Yeah, I think that if you break down the Republican criticism of Governor Evers here, it's sort of a few things. One, he hasn't done anything. Mm-hmm. You know, what has Governor Evers done? Nothing. He hasn't done anything. Two, we should prevent him from doing things. You know, that was the lame duck session. We need
right.
to reel in executive mm-hmm. power. So could he have come in and issued some very grand executive orders that like reeled back a bunch of Walker administration initiatives like, you know, Medicaid work requirement, for example, a bunch of other stuff that we've talked about at length. I mean, he could have done that, but they took that action. It wasn't something that just happened. So one, he hasn't done anything. Two, we should prevent him from doing things. And three, there has also been a huge overreach is the other Republican mm-hmm. criticism. They're talking about his budget. And that, you know, Laurel referenced Senator Fitzgerald calling it a Democratic wish list. Mm-hmm. There is a lot in that budget, you know, a lot that's not going to become law, but he is asking for a lot in there. And so, but the if you boil down the Republican criticism of Governor Evers' first 100 days, one thing sort of conflicts with the other there in terms of what they're calling out.
Mm-hmm.
But what would Evers and his camp say in terms of what they've accomplished in their first 100 days? Because I doubt they would be sitting around saying, well, yes, we've just twiddled our thumbs here in our first 100 days in office. You're right. We've done nothing. We've done too much. We've also done nothing.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They're not buying into that narrative necessarily.
No, of course not. And, you know, he did a handful of interviews about his first 100 days. And I can tell you in the one that he granted us, he talked about his impressions of the first 100 days. He just listed a couple things that he lists, one positive, one negative. The positive, he said, were these listening sessions that he's held on the, you know, hear him talk mm-hmm. a lot about the people's budget when he goes out and talks to people about the budget. He said that's been a positive. He said the negative has been kind of this hangover from the lame duck session, which has spawned many lawsuits and has now kind of set off a conflict between Evers and Republican senators over appointments, some of them made by Governor Walker, some of them made by Evers.
So what did he say? It was something like, it's hard for us to have conversations. It's hard for us to do work
right.
or something like that.
Yeah, that it kind of hangs over everything. So he did talk about the accomplishment that he said he was proud of. It was that executive order he issued almost immediately after taking office, directing state agencies to come up with rules to protect against discrimination based on someone's sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he was proud of that. He said he didn't want to take too much credit for it because it's a common sense idea, but he was proud that he had done that. Because he's not getting bills sent to him that he agrees with, or mm-hmm. really that many bills at all, and the budget fight is really yet to come. That's what we've talked about so far with Governor Tony Evers. So he did talk a lot about his budget,
mm-hmm.
and this was not stuff that has exactly happened yet, but he talked about, you know, what he wants to see there in terms of his budget. He wants to have school funding, healthcare, and road funding taken care of in this budget.
Schools, healthcare, and roads. I feel like that's something he's talked about before.
it rings a bell. Yeah,
yeah,
it does. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Probably not. He probably never mentioned that before.
I would just say as an aside, too, you know, you talked about that first executive order he signed. I think he's put out 20 executive orders now.
Is that right?
On a variety of things. Yep. Because I think the 20th was one that caused a little bit of a stir. Maybe, no, it wasn't the 20th one, but it's been a fairly recent one. Do you remember when he signed the executive order about using the R word, or the R word being official state language about things?
In administrative code, prohibiting the use of the R word in administrative code.
Right. And that's something that also, speaking of kind of the conflict that he's had with Republicans and maybe areas where they could agree, there was a Republican-backed bill that would have done this. And the governor did an executive order, and that's kind of ruffled some feathers because Republicans said, why are you kind of...
Hey, you've pulled the rug out from under
us here.
Right,
exactly. This could have been something that we passed and you signed, and kind of an example of bipartisan cooperation. So a little bit of...
Yeah, that's state government right now. Hey, we all agree on this thing.
We're going to do it first and better than you are, essentially.
And we're going to fight publicly about it for, you know, a few different news cycles, too.
So it seems like even maybe Evers himself admits that there hasn't been a whole lot that's been going on legislatively or anything in his first 100 days, but he's looking forward to things that are going to come in the next 100 days?
Yeah, kind of. He, you know, I asked him if he was surprised that he hadn't signed a bill yet. He's like, you know, no, he said. I mean, he did not hesitate on that. Like, no, I think when people elected a divided government, that's what they're expecting, that we're going to have to work together to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And Evers is, in these situations, he's very chill. Like, he's kind of the same person he is in these press conferences or anything, speeches, as he is in a one-on-one interview. Pretty relaxed and saying, like, it's fine. We're gonna get something done. I know that this is something he mentioned that I thought was interesting. He said, I know Republicans are looking out. They're seeking out Democratic co-sponsors for their bills. And we're going to have... We'll have some bills to sign eventually here.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I wondered if that was a little... If that was a message, by the way. You know, that was what I was thinking. Maybe he was literally saying that, like, Republicans have told him. Either way, he does meet with Republican rank-and-file legislators on a regular basis. He has sent pictures out to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they are telling him, when they meet with the governor, hey, just so you know, I'm getting Democratic sponsors, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. Or... Governor Tony Evers is saying, I'm sure you're getting Democratic co-sponsors for your bill. I found that
it
little...
It would be a nice thing if one were to get Democratic co-sponsors on a bill. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying I, the person who signs bills, might look kindly upon that.
So was there anything else that you got to talk about him with in this special 100 days interview that you get because of the arbitrary 100 days mark?
So we did talk about the lame duck session quite a bit and, you know, why it's worth it to him to fight over these appointments that, you know, he rescinded all of Governor Walker's appointees who were confirmed in mm-hmm. the lame duck session. He reappointed most of them. Some of the big names he has not reappointed, like the Public Service Commission chair, the Board of Regents. I asked him why it was worth it to have those appointments. And he was saying, like, look, these are meaningful positions. I know the power of the Board of Regents. I was on the Board of Regents. But I also asked him, like, look, there was this apparently there was this window after Judge Richard Neese issued that decision in the one lamed up case out of the League of Women Voters case, where he struck down all the laws and invalidated all the appointments. And you, Governor Evers, took action on a couple things. You got Wisconsin out of the Affordable Care Act lawsuit. You rescinded all these appointments. Why didn't you take other steps? Why didn't you do stuff with the rescinding a bunch of Walker administration waivers that you were critical of? And his response was like the most brief response out of the whole interview. He's like, you can only do so many legal analyses so fast, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I should probably read it.
That was it. Yeah. He committed it to memory.
I did. He said, we can only do so many legal analyses at one time. And just kind of left it there. He didn't feel any pressure to elaborate on that one.
Yeah.
It was just like, next question.
Well, I remember when we were in that window of time and we had a press conference with him and said, Governor, what are you going to do? And he said, you know, I'm taking my time. There's no rush. I'm going to kind of look at these things one by one. And people said, well, don't you feel like there's a window here that you need to act quickly?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm not really concerned because I think that this is going to be upheld by the Court of Appeals, so I'm going to have all the time in the world.
And the next day he rescinded those appointments. So obviously he felt like he needed to act on some of this stuff. So why not all of it? And he didn't really say.
Well, speaking of Governor Evers and things he might do, even if it's not technically within the first 100 days, he made some news this week in terms of Foxconn and the Foxconn contract.
He sure did. So basically what he said this week is that he might renegotiate the contract, which is kind of a crazy bit of news.
It is a step farther than he's taken so far in all of his comments since becoming governor, since being elected.
Oh, my
I
gosh.
Think.
And before he was elected, I mean, the conversation about the Foxconn contract was a big part of the Democratic gubernatorial campaign, because you had some people saying we can get out of the contract entirely. Some people were saying we could renegotiate it. And Governor Evers was kind of like on the more tame end of that spectrum, saying, like, we're in this deal. We need to do what we can to make Foxconn a good corporate citizen. That was kind of the phrase he used. But he definitely hasn't talked about, you know, like going back to the drawing board and renegotiating this contract until this week. And it made a lot of waves when he said that.
And it was not at a press conference to talk about Foxconn either. It was a press conference for senior care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked about it by WisPolitics, she said.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so this was in a question and answer session. And the governor's like, look, I'm working on my 200-day agenda. Day 101, I said this.
Yeah. So I was going to say day 105, renegotiate Foxconn contract. But Republican leaders are definitely pushing back on this. And Speaker Voss said I think there were three varies. He said very, very, very unlikely that the WEDIC board is going to go along with any sort of renegotiation of the Foxconn contract.
Man, what happens if you say the fourth vary? Like somebody appears
out of the window? It's like Beetlejuice and the contract just goes up in a puff of smoke or something.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so there was more to the Foxconn thing and Evers. There's been some developments in terms of Foxconn that might have led to Evers bringing this up.
So there was another story. I'm trying to think about, you're going to have to help me maybe with this chain of events, which has kind of been...
It's been a long chain of events. There's been kind of a lot happening with
Foxconn. Well, first Donald Trump and Reince Priebus flew in a helicopter over a farm field.
Right. And, and Trump
fast
says,
forward
look at
till
that.
Today.
Yeah. Right.
Do you guys remember? Okay, so I want to go back to January really quick.
Okay.
So January was when there were reports that Foxconn might not be manufacturing what it initially planned to manufacture in Wisconsin.
It was cold also.
It was also cold. And we did a podcast called Big Screen, Small Screen, No Screen, Small Screen.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good job.
And that was kind of the evolution of the product line at Foxconn,
Foxconn
and how the facility might be changing.
No future for us in TV. And then they said, actually a future for us in TV, but smaller TVs.
Right.
Smaller screens, maybe not even TVs.
Right. So this is something like they confirmed in February that they were going to be building a Generation 6 facility in Wisconsin instead of Generation 10 that was originally planned. So that's not necessarily a new thing. Like the governor could have commented about the change in facility size definitely before this week.
Yeah. And after that, he met with representatives from Foxconn. His administration did. They've been in talks. He has like a Foxconn point person who works sort of for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, but is, an employee of the Department of Administration, was hired in consult with Evers' administration. So, I mean, there's been a lot there. But there was another one of these investigative stories recently. Mm-hmm. This was by The Verge. Mm-hmm. And it looked at a lot of these... What were they? Innovation centers? A lot of these regional centers that Foxconn said it was going to develop around the state. They were announcing them during 2018, during Governor Walker's campaign. Mm-hmm. I think we speculated that maybe this is a way to help Governor Walker, who has helped them.
Because it sort of reinforced the idea that Foxconn was going to be a statewide
thing.
Right.
It's not just a Southeast Wisconsin thing. Look, there's this center up in Green Bay, Eau Claire, you know, they're everywhere. And so... this article looked at what's actually happening here and, talked to the short answer was he didn't know. You know, he didn't get a straight answer from people. He did know that there are Foxconn employees there. He described the color of their lanyards, but they were very much not interested in talking to a journalist about this. So it kind of adds to the mystique about what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Then Terry Goh, the powerful chairman and CEO of Foxconn, announces he is stepping back from leading the company. Not that he's going to step away from it, but he's not going to be the number one person in control of everything on a regular basis.
That was kind of the first news that came out. Well, the first thing I saw on Twitter was Terry Goh is leaving.
Yeah.
And then it kind of became Terry Goh is stepping back sort of thing.
Significant, though, because Terry Goh was kind of critical to this Wisconsin Foxconn deal. Really, mm-hmm. Terry Goh and Scott Walker were critical to this Foxconn deal. So if Scott Walker's not governor anymore, Terry Goh is not like at the point on Foxconn anymore.
Just a little aside here, what do we know about what Terry Goh might be doing now that he's stepping back from Foxconn chairman duties?
Well, John, we know that he's running for president of Taiwan. And you tell me why he decided to do this, because you actually informed me of this. I had missed this in the articles, but you caught it.
Well, it turns out that the sea goddess Mazu visited Terry Goh in a dream and suggested that he run for the presidency of Taiwan.
And I would like, so John told us this, I would highly suggest that anyone in podcast land, if you aren't familiar with the sea goddess, Google her because she looks super cool.
And how do you say no to that, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. If she came to me in a dream and told me to do something, I would be there.
So Terry Goh, stepping back a little bit in Foxconn, now running for president, and then Tony Evers says, day 101 of my administration, I think we should renegotiate this, and they're not going to create 13,000 jobs.
Yeah, he said that the 13,000 number is unrealistic.
And Foxconn released a statement the next day saying that they're still committed to Wisconsin. But I don't think they used that 13,000.
They didn't. No, they said they had long-term jobs commitments to Wisconsin, but yeah, didn't give anything specific.
But they have in the past. It wasn't part of this statement, but they have in the past said they remain committed to the 13,000 jobs. So
we've gotten a bit far afield from the 100-day agenda podcast, which is the title of this show.
But
somehow,
Foxconn
in some way,
played a big role in the first 100 days. I mean, it's kind of that part of that hangover cloud.
And,
you know,
I also think it's a reminder that the governor, what he says and what he can do still matters a lot in Wisconsin. And just because it hasn't happened in that first 100 days when the governor says something about Foxconn, it carries a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next 100 could be we could be in for a doozy, man.
Well, from day 101 till eternity, we will be here to tell you about it. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
100 days, 100 nights to know a man.
If you're looking for something that's maybe slightly more fun than scratching out a rudimentary counting system on the side of a cave wall, maybe consider subscribing for new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on iTunes. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes, over 100 of them at this point, anytime at wpr.org/politics.
You may be mine.